Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian Alaska Native communities. The head of the Center for Native American Health is Dr. Mary Owen, and she's also an Alaska Native. Mary, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you, Lisa.
And coming up soon, you and I are going to have a conversation about all of the medical students, not only that you just graduated, but that you have coming into the program in the fall, we hope, because UMD does a pretty impressive job in recruiting Native medical students. So we've got that conversation that we need to schedule before you leave here today, too.
Sounds great. We've got a good number coming in, so we're looking forward to that talk.
Between Minnesota Native News and National Native News, it gives us the opportunity who are not part of a Native community to learn about some things that are going on in Native communities. And when I heard about Alaska's budget, their budget woes, and how some people think that the budget's being balanced at the expense of Native people who are already operating on a pretty thin margin, knowing that you are an Alaska Native, knowing that you worked for your tribe for a number of years, I asked if you would talk about this a little bit. Is this sort of... We talk a lot about how Native people are sometimes underrepresented, how their voices aren't really heard. Was this an instance where the idea was, well, these are places that we can cut this budget and there really isn't going to be a lot of pushback?
You know, I don't think so. I think that this governor cut across the board and it happened to affect the people who were marginalized the most. You know, Alaska has a 20% of Alaska, all Alaskans live at or below the poverty level. 30% of Alaska Natives do. So you can see that plenty of people are going to be affected by this, and it just happens to be more Alaska Natives. I don't think that he, perhaps he did, but I don't know that I could say fairly that he went after Alaska Natives because we don't have a voice. I know that it impacted us significantly. It will impact us significantly. And I want to preface this by saying that I have not lived in my home for 5 years, but I still have my immediate family and all of my extended family there, and I still am in contact with the patients that I took care of for many years for my own tribe. So I can only speak to those issues and what I've read in the paper like the rest of us, because I think this is so new. You know, it was just on Friday that the legislature was unable to override the line item vetoes by the governor. So we're all trying to figure out what this means for Alaska, Alaskans, particularly those on the bottom edges as far as equality. Inequity.
And excuse me. And yet, of course, it would seem you want businesses to stay. You want people that pay taxes to stay. And yet, I mean, I think that if you're cutting folks that are already marginalized, that are already on the edge, it's not like they're necessarily going to be able to just pack up and go someplace else.
Well, that's a really good point. Yeah, he cut, for instance, on the homeless programs. He made a line item veto that effectively took cuts that were at 2.6 million down even further to 13.7 million, effectively impacting transitional housing, 5 homeless shelters in Anchorage. You know, Brother Francis went down from, it's a homeless shelter in Anchorage, is going down from serving 240 people per day to 100. And it doesn't sound like big numbers, but if you remember that our population is only about 730,000, all of these are large, all these numbers of people affected. You know, dozens of people will be affected by the closing of the Sitka Place, a homeless transition center in Alaska, many other programs. You can imagine how much, you know, that many millions, how many people that's going to affect.
Well, and when you start talking about services for people that are homeless, Alaska is not like California.
That's exactly
it's not
right.
The sort of place where it's, oh, it's, you know, you can live outside all year round.
Right.
It may not always be comfortable, but you can do that.
Right.
When winter comes, when the bad weather comes, this could be catastrophic.
Absolutely. You know, we have a significant number of people who might not officially be homeless, but as in other places, they're couch surfing. So we know that number's, you know, probably larger than what's counted. And thank God they're able to couch surf, or else they wouldn't be living.
One of the things that we've been learning more and more about are the idea of treaty obligations and governmental obligations to tribes, and the idea that the tribe said, okay, you can have this land, but in exchange, here's the deal we're making. You're going to provide the following services for us. On a statewide level, Does it look at this point as though Alaska is going to be reneging on some of those obligations?
I'll tell you where this issue really comes to the fore, and that is that federal government underfunds the Indian Health Service significantly. I've talked about that on this program before. You know, we're the lowest funded of all the federally funded health programs, despite treaty rights. And one of the ways that Indian Health Service and tribal units make up for that is by billing through Medicaid. Medicaid has taken a $50 million, he did a line item veto of an additional $50 million on top of the $70 million that was already cut from Medicaid for the state of Alaska. So my clinic, my tribal clinic, will no longer be able to bill for those funds. Dental funding is completely wiped out for people. We know now that dental disease is related to cardiovascular disease and many other systemic diseases. So, yes, the state has impacted treaty rights yet again by just impacting the Medicaid services. They've also cut out programs like the Senior Benefits Program, which is a program to help needy seniors in Alaska, recognizing that, you know, these shortfalls that we talked about are these the degree of people in poverty, and that's totally gone now. So that'll affect many low-income people. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a specific part of the budget, obviously. We're talking about the way it's affecting Native people and people living in poverty. I would like to assume that there are also, of course, cuts in this budget that are affecting people on the other end of the scale. But at some point, do you have the sense that, you know, when you call home and you talk with your family and your former patients, that people are saying, we're not going to accept this? You can't balance the budget on the backs of these people who already have almost nothing to begin with.
Well, between that and the fact that 41% of the university budget was cut, you would hope that people would be up in arms over it. I mean, 41%. Think of the brain drain that we're going to continue to have from our state, because people can't. If you cut, there was already 1,200 university employees cut over the past 5 years, recognizing the decrease in oil revenues. So when you have to cut that many more, at the least, if not even more than that, then you devastate the university system. So all those people who are employed by the university, where are they going to go? In fact, probably many will leave the state. So then you're decreasing the income from that lot.
Well, in addition, it would be really difficult for a student trying to decide where they're going to go to college. Geography, I'm sure, makes a big difference in Alaska in terms of where people decide to go to school. But they say, wow, you know, they basically halved the ability, you know, the programs, the people, the resources at the university, you know, my local college, do I want to go there?
We know at our own medical school that if we're going to get people who want to return to the communities they come from, you recruit those same people. Alaska, even though it's wonderful, it's my home, I love it, I think it's the best place on this earth, it is not the easiest place to live. And we've had many providers, healthcare providers, come and go because one spouse or even the provider themselves couldn't handle it. The isolation, the weather. So we have to recruit from our own. My brother was planning, he's a 50-some-year-old guy, was planning on returning to college this year because he's finally in a spot where he can. Now he probably will not be able to. So you're right, it doesn't just affect the people who are teaching and the administration, those jobs, but it affects the people who want to stay, who are committed to staying in Alaska.
So as we look at the budget decisions that are made here in Minnesota, and obviously our situation is much different from Alaska, but as we look at budget decisions that are made on an ongoing basis, these are kind of some things to keep in mind, the way small things affect other things and become big things, I guess.
I like to think that we're in a much better place in this state, thankfully.
Yes.
You know, for one thing, we have a lieutenant governor who's Native American, and I just haven't seen this kind of ideology where you ignore the people whose needs are the greatest so far from this administration.
Mary, thank you so much for coming in and sharing kind of a local person's perspective on something going on in another community. And in a sense, what a great way to start a Monday a little bit to say, maybe things aren't perfect, but at least we're not Alaska. Well, not only that, apparently it gets to be 90 degrees in Alaska, so maybe we've got a lot of things to be thankful for.
Right, we're having a drought right now in my home.
Oh, gee. Wow. Mary, thank you again so much for coming in this morning. It's always great to talk with you. Dr. Mary Owen, our guest this morning here on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. Today's Journey to Wellness is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School, Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving healthcare access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities.